Hello, I am Rodney Barlow, and I want to welcome you to our first foundational teaching entitled Salvation 1, Lesson 1. I want to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. First, I want to begin explaining what is salvation. Salvation means being born again. Salvation is the spiritual and eternal deliverance granted by God to those who accept His condition of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. Salvation is preservation and deliverance from danger or trouble, wholeness in spirit, soul, and body. Salvation is a gift of God. A gift is free. You don't need to work for it. Now I want to draw your attention to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Salvation is a gift that is free, that you don't have to work for it. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, you'll find these words. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word saved or saved is a Greek word meaning, which is sozo, S-O-Z-O, means deliverance or protection from evil. It means to heal, to preserve, to be whole. Romans 10 verse 13 talks about through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It means to be whole. Now, the question is, how does salvation come? Salvation comes not by your own works or abilities, but by grace through faith. The only means of salvation is by believing on Jesus and the work He did for you. Jesus said it like this in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So Jesus lets us know He is the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, salvation is through faith. And the gospel is the saving instrument that men and women give their hearts to Christ. See, God imparts faith to every person who has a repentant heart. And He gives us grace, because without grace you cannot be saved. So the question is, well, what is grace? Grace is simply divine favor. It is God's heart and attitude which moves Him toward His people. It is a gift that He gives, not on the basis of your performance, but on the basis of His love. Grace is also the power active within the heart of the believer that works in you and empowers you to do God's will. God asks you and I to live a holy life, and He gives the grace, but His grace enables you and I to do it. See, God's grace can be defined as God's willingness to use His power on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. God said to Paul like this, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You see, for by grace are you saved. See, when Jesus came, He came preaching the gospel. He came preaching the kingdom of God, and He said, repent and believe the gospel. Well, if I'm going to repent and believe the gospel, I must understand what is repentance. Repentance can be defined as turning away from your own effort or ability and turning to God and getting His solutions. It involves a change of your mind or purpose for to do His word. Repentance involves a change for the better. See, repentance is a change of heart and attitude. It's a change of thinking and acting. It's the inner transition from self-dependence and self-government to submission to God. See, when you're born again, you are placed into the kingdom of God. That means you have the real King Jesus to rule and lead you. So, Jesus preaches repentance. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. It says this. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, he said, I tell you, but unless you repent, you with all likewise perish. Then in verse 5, he said, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish again. So we see here, Jesus preached repentance. Peter preached repentance in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Now, godly sorrow brings you to repentance, not remorse or just feeling sorry or regret. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, so you can feel sorry over something and then not repent. You can feel remorseful over something and then not change your thinking or your acting. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So the heart needs to be pricked or open to do God's way and accept his provision. See, when Peter preached the word, the hearts was pricked. The hearts was pricked to the degree, guess what? They recognized they had to repent. So when you come to a place of repentance, you say, okay, I have no more solutions. I'm no longer going to rely on my own way, my own mental ability, my own charisma, or my smooth talking, or my education. I'm going to just surrender to God and do as God's way. I'm going to change my thinking and my attitude. Well, the question you may ask, well, who needs repentance? Well, the scripture lets us know that everybody needs repentance. Why? Because the way you were thinking before you received Christ was wrong. For the scripture says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You mean to tell me before I gave my heart to Christ, my thinking was wrong? Well, that's what the Bible lets us know. In Isaiah chapter 55, I want you to turn to Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we see here, God's letting us know that our thoughts and our ways are not lining up to him. Although it does not mean our thoughts and our ways cannot be like him, it just lets us know when we came into the kingdom of God, our thoughts and our ways did not line up with God. But when you get your mind renewed, guess what? You can begin to think like him, and your ways should begin to act like God's ways. Now, what repentance does, it cleanses your heart of clutter so God can plant the good seed of his word in you. It is not enough to cut down the bad plants of visible sin, but the roots also must be pulled out, and the desire to do those things must be destroyed. For the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, I want you to go there, say Matthew chapter 3, the first book in the New Testament, verse 8. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory. So who needs to repent? Everybody. Why do I need to repent? Because let's see what the Bible says in Psalms 51, verse 5. Psalms 51, verse 5 says this. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. See, so you see here, and in sin your mom conceived me. So you got to understand this. Nature formed you. Sin deformed you. Education informed you. But it took Christ to transform you and I. So therefore, before we gave our hearts to Christ, we had the wrong nature. We had an old nature. What kind of nature we had? We had the nature that did not bring God glory. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So we see here, we were spiritually dead, and we needed to be spiritually alive. Prior to salvation, we lived in the kingdom of darkness. We lived in the kingdom of Satan. I want to go there. The reason why I turned to a whole lot of scripture, so you won't take my word because the preacher said it, but you can see it for yourself what the word of God says and the state you and I was in before we gave our hearts to Christ. Now Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, He says, I have also remission of sins. Not only redemption, but I have remission. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Redemption means to buy back. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about I have remission of sins. So, what is remission of sins? Acts chapter 2, we're going to find out. See, God wants you to be a strong Christian, and to be a strong Christian, you have to know the Word. So that's why we have these teachings on firm foundation to build a solid foundation, so when the winds come and the rains blow, you will not fall, but you will grow strong and bear forth fruit in your life. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says this, Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So we see here, verse 38, he says, Repent. He says, Be baptized. After you give your heart to Christ, you should be baptized, water baptized. Then it says, And for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I need to find out, what is this remission of sins? It means it is the release of sin or the sending away of the old sin nature. See, once Jesus came into your heart, the old nature you were born with is sent away. That's why Peter said, Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, something you must realize. When Jesus Christ came, He came not only to deal with our nature of sin, the thing in which made us do it, but the very thing that drives us to do it. Okay, that nature of sin drives us to sin. Okay, for example, a fish has the nature to swim. You take the fish out of water, the fish is going to die. Before we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we had a nature that we practiced or lived the life of sin. Okay, we have what you call a sinful nature that I read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. But now let's go to John chapter 8. See, we were naughty by nature. That's why we had to get born again. Now, John chapter 8, verse 44, you are your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay? And so, what took place? What had to take place? We had to get a change in nature. For us to have a new nature and belong to God, we have to do what God required each and every person, and that is to do what? Repent and believe the gospel. Or repent and receive Christ and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how do I do that? If you did not do that already, I want to lead you to salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why? For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. When you pray that prayer and ask Christ to come into your life, you just then got born again. Now when you got born again, you might not feel different, okay? When I got born again, I didn't feel different, but I knew that a change took place in my heart. Now, and when the change took place, the old nature left and God's new nature came in. Now, in doing so, our nature is changed. God, through Jesus Christ, not only allowed our sins to be canceled through His shed blood on the cross, but changed our very nature that was driving us before we made Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So, again, you said, well, you made mention about remission. But what is remission? Again, it means to release. The forgiveness, sending away of sins, release from the guilt and the penalty of sin. The release or the sending away, again, of that old nature. Now, remission of sin resulted from Christ's sacrificial death. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 18. Matthew chapter 26. And, excuse me, verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So we see here, Christ shed his blood for you and I, for what? For the remission of sins. Okay? And then I want to encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, and verses 8 through 11, and verses 17 through 18. So it talks about how Christ was our substitute for us, went to the cross, and shed his blood for the remission of sins. But to really make it real clear, I want to share something with you from the Old Testament. So once you understand what Christ did, you can better appreciate what Christ has done, and then you're not trying to live a your new walk with Christ in your own strength. So go with me to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And I want to show you what the symbol or typology that took place before Christ came, so then you can really get a good understanding about what God did for you. Now, in the Old Testament, God had a high priest, and the high priest went to the Holy of Holies and prayed to God for the forgiveness of sins for the whole nation of Israel. So when he did that, he had to make sacrifices, and he had to put the animal's blood on the altar. And the animal was a substitute for man's sin. Okay, now, in Leviticus chapter 16, I want to pick it up at verse number 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. Okay, and then let's just go down to verse 15. Then you shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring the blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did the blood of the bull and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And then let's go down to verse 20. I'm just trying to get you to that. Verse 20. And when he had made an end of the atonement for the holy place, the tabernacle of the meeting and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to the uninhibited lamb, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Now we're talking about two goats, okay? One goat was the goat for sacrifice, meaning the goat was cut, and the blood of the goat was poured on the altar. The symbol, the type of Jesus. Jesus was the sacrifice on the altar for you and I, and he was placed on the cross. Jesus, okay, was the sacrifice as the true Lamb of God, according to John chapter 1. Jesus identified for our sin. Sin of mankind's disobedience that Adam did in the garden. I would encourage you to read Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 17. Now, sin had to be dealt with. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus became our substitute. It lets us know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So now what happened to the other goat? See, the other goat, okay, the high priest would put his hand on that goat, confess the sins of Israel, and supernaturally, the sins of Israel will go into the goat. And that goat will be sent into the wilderness, never to be seen again. This was called the scapegoat. Maybe you heard the phrase before, put my sin on the goat and let the goat go away. Well, actually, that came from the Bible. Okay? So for a person's sins to be sent away, the person had to repent. We had to stop trying to do things in our own strength, for Jesus made provisions for you and I. Again, after you see Christ, what happened? You became born again. And many times, you tried to live a Christian life in your own strength. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Know that God has given you His grace, His ability, and you go to God in His Word, and God will give you the strength to live for Him. Know that God has your future, and everything you need, you get it from the Word. Once you give up your own selfish way of trying to do things, surrender to God and to His Word, and cry out to God, God will help you. For the Bible talks about in Psalms 56, and verse number 9, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Hebrews chapter 4 encouraged you and I to go to God. So after I get born again, what happened? I should get baptized. Water baptized. After I get water baptized, now I want to go to the next stage, a walk in obedience. But let me say something. The word baptized means to submerge. See, we should get baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who's responsible for our salvation, the one who died for us, and the captain of our salvation. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. The Word of God talks about, in John chapter 16, verse 23, we should pray to God the Father in that name. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in that name. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, cast out demons in my name. Then also he said, lay hands on the sick in that name. Then Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, whatever you do, do all in the name. So there's power in the name. So I get saved. What happens when I start to live for Christ and I have some issues and challenges? I want to encourage you to stay with the Word of God. You got saved by grace. I encourage you to live by grace. And remember, what God says in His Word, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, He said, your sins I will remember no more. So confess them, forsake them, and know that God has erased your past. Your past has been forgiven. You got a brand new start, and if anybody comes and try to remind you what you did, let them know it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. So, since your sins is past and it's covered by the blood, now what I need to do, I need to grow in Christ. How to grow? By going through these firm foundational teachings. Make sure that you memorize the scriptures that we give you, meditate on them, let the Word of God come alive, and you begin to take root and get strong. You said meditate and memorize scriptures. What scriptures? I have some scriptures just for you. I want you to write this down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now I'm also going to give you the next set of scriptures for salvation to lesson to, so you can begin to memorize these scriptures also. They are Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts 4, verse 12, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now I want you to get a 3x5 card, write the scriptures down, and just go over them and memorize, or maybe you can have somebody, a loved one, a friend to test you so you can get that scripture in your heart, but it'll help you so when the enemy comes against you, you can be just like Jesus. Jesus quoted the word, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, it is written. You'll be able to say, it is written, because the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. I believe God's going to help you grow real strong, and we're going to do our part to help you as well. Until next time, keep walking by faith.